Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning young adult author, CJ Malacy, and in this episode, we are going to dive into an author interview with an author many of you have requested hearing from, Brian Davis. Brian Davis is the author of several fantasy adventure series for youth and adults, including the best-selling Dragons in Our Midst series, and I am so excited to have him here with us today. Brian, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
I am so thrilled to have you here. As I mentioned in the intro, you are one of the most requested authors on this podcast from my listeners. They can't wait to hear from you and about your stories, and I'm thrilled to have you here with us today. I personally just started reading Raising Dragons, the first book in Dragons in Our Midst, and I'm only a couple chapters in, but I'm very intrigued by where you're going with the story. But that is not the book we're talking about today. Today, we're going to be talking about, I believe, a new book that you have coming out, right, Brian? The Sacred Scales?
Yeah, it's going to be very soon. I think the official release date is June the 3rd.
It's coming upon us quickly. And when this airs, the book will have released. So that will be exciting for our listeners to be able to get their hands on that. But would you mind sharing with us a little bit about this story?
Well, The Sacred Scales is book number one in a series called Dragons of Camelot. It's in the overall Dragons in Our Midst story world. There are 12 books in the Dragons in Our Midst story world. And at the end of that the third series, I decided I wanted to go back and fill in some gaps from back in the times of Camelot. So I started writing medieval times, so I went into that kind of mode. And I have two youngsters, a boy and a girl, Hawk and Sabina, who are 11 years old, and they are in the midst of handling some tragedies. They lost parents due to attacks from fire-breathing dragons. The one particular dragon who's very evil has caused them a lot of grief. And they're learning how to deal with whether or not to hate the dragons or like the good dragons and even believe that there are good dragons out there. And it's a story of love, acceptance, forgiveness, sacrifice as they try to deal with the problems they're having in Camelot and how Merlin, who I portray as a Christian prophet, helps them through these times.
Wow, that is so fun. I always enjoy a good medieval twist. And then when you add dragons in, you know, you can't go too wrong with some dragons coming into the story.
Especially if there are some good dragons that you can attach to and really like.
Yes, definitely. And I love that you've kept Merlin in the story, but added that twist of him being like a Christian prophet. And I love how you add those elements into your books and weave them into the story.
It's a lot of fun.
Yes, for sure. So how did the idea for this story come about? I know you said you wanted to fill in some of those gaps and go back into the medieval times, but what brought Hawk and Sabina into your world of imagination?
Well, the Dragons in Our Midst story had a flashback to this Camelot time. So it was just kind of short, and you just get a glimpse of what happened back then that caused the dragons to get involved with the story. So I wanted to expand that, but in order to do that, you kind of have to have young characters because that's your target audience. So I have two 11-year-olds who are thrown together because they both have tragedies. And I wanted two characters who are very likable, but also have some problems that they're struggling with so that readers can connect to them. Mm. So I came up with Hawk and Sabina. I wanted kind of unusual names so people would remember them.
Yes.
And I just started writing them and figuring out their personalities. I'm what they call a seat of the pants writer. I don't plot in advance. So I always start with a character who has a problem, and then I go from there. So I wanted Hawk to be someone who was obviously a good, resourceful character. He is working as an apprentice in Camelot so he could send money back to his mother because his father was killed by a dragon. And Sabina, both of her parents were killed by a dragon, and she was forced to go live in the woods. So she was kind of a wild child, and she was adopted by a dragon and raised by a dragon. So she has a lot of unusual characteristics, but they're very lovable. And so when she is found and has to go back to Camelot to learn to be a lady, things get very interesting for her. And then the two are thrown together and they become friends. And so I tell the story through their eyes.
It's fun to take a character that had one background, like Sabina growing up raised by a dragon, and then to throw her in an entirely new world. And I can only imagine some of the interesting shenanigans that come to play as she's now forced to learn to become a lady after growing up in the wild and being raised by a dragon.
Yeah, especially when the person who adopts her to teach her to be a lady is a witch.
That's a problem.
Sabina doesn't know it.
Oh, boy.
And that woman is going to try to use her, and Sabine and Hawk have to figure it out, and a lot of other problems to face. So there's a lot of interesting, intriguing blending of innocence versus what the real world is like. And I think that's something a lot of young people need to realize.
Yes, and that age is such a tender one of 11 years old, of going from that being a child into becoming more mature, growing into who you're going to be as an adult more and more, not quite there yet, but learning more about what the world is really like. So I think those themes are powerful to have in the story.
Also, the choices they have to make and learn whom to trust. That's a very important aspect of growing up.
Definitely, definitely. One of the themes that you mentioned that I just wanted to bring up as well, since we're kind of starting to go more into the themes area here, is sacrificial love. So how does that weave into the story? Because it sounds like a lot of coming of age elements. And then I know you mentioned in our notes prior to this episode that sacrificial love plays an important part in the story as well. So what does that look like?
Well, both Sabina and Hawk learn that they have to be willing to risk harm to themselves in order to help the other one. Hawk helps Sabina. Sabina helps Hawk. And they're both willing to suffer great harm just to get them out of trouble, and their alliance gets closer and closer as they learn to love each other in a brotherly, sisterly way. And the bond that happens as they continue to sacrifice and the stakes get higher and higher and higher, they learn that sacrifice is the greatest love of all.
Mm. That's also a powerful theme, I think, for this age group in particular, because like you said, learning who to trust, but also learning that, you know, as a child, much is given to you. Kids know their first word is no, right? Like they want things their way. And so to learn sacrificial love, to give of yourself for someone else, that's also a really powerful thing, I think, for young people in this stage of life as they're growing up to learn.
It starts right away in the story with something small. For example, the dragon who raised Sabina wants to send her to be raised by humans. She needs that. And Sabina doesn't want to go because it's scary. That's her first sacrifice to do what she's told. Mm. And Hawk is apprenticed to a scoundrel, and he is torn between trying to help him and moral dilemmas on what to do. And he will sacrifice his own livelihood in order to do what's right. So it starts early and it just builds from there. And I think young people can ride that wave of learning about sacrificial love.
Absolutely. And why was that theme important for you in crafting this story?
Well, as a Christian writer, you know, the sacrifice of Jesus and his love for us is the paramount theme of the Bible. Mm. And I just wanted to express that in these simple illustrations that grow and grow and grow. And then when we get to the end of the story, we realize that Jesus did even more than that for us. So I just wanted to paint little illustrations of that love so that we can better understand it and kids can better understand it.
Yeah. I love how stories can allow us to do that, to paint little vignettes of a much bigger picture to help understand the deeper reality in our hearts in a way that maybe we didn't before.
And another theme that I use a lot is mercy and forgiveness. And so that tied into sacrificial love just completes the picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can already see just from what you shared about the stories, how forgiveness could play a part. If both of these kids have had dragons destroy their families and people in their lives who are actively doing terrible things, to move forward without that bitterness is hard. And to actually look at a dragon and think maybe there could be a good dragon out there for Hawk, especially, I can imagine is difficult as well.
It is. Whenever I have a character like that, I want to show him having some kind of personal issue. His back was burned by the dragon who killed his father. So it isn't just the loss of his father, it's loss of personal comfort because he's always hurting from that. A constant reminder of what's been done to him. And he has to learn to trust the dragon as the story goes on.
Wow. And that trust must not come easy, but that's what makes for a good story, right?
Right. Definitely a struggle.
Definitely. So you mentioned that you write by the seat of your pants, but this theme seems like one that really is intrinsically tied to Hawk and Sabina. Is it something you thought of as you were crafting their characters, or did it come out as the story was coming together for you?
Well, again, as a Christian writer, I always write with Christian themes. And it just seems like sacrificial love just keeps coming up because a truly heroic person is going to choose discomfort in order to help somebody else. That's pretty much the definition of heroism. So I always write hero's journey stories. So those journeys just naturally involve that kind of sacrifice. So I didn't think of it in advance. It's just natural for my story writing. You'll see it in all my books.
Yes. And that's one of the things that I have heard many readers say they really love about your stories. I've heard it over and over again that young readers in particular are loving how you weave in these deep Christian values into your books, but they're engaging and exciting adventures. And I think young people today are hungry for biblical truth displayed through story. And one of the reasons I think my listeners are so excited to hear from you is because you are unafraid of taking that stand and doing that in that way. So thank you for being willing to do that with your stories.
You're welcome. It's you know, I started writing over 30 years ago, and my kids wanted to read exciting stories, but there's so much junk out there. I wanted stories that would build them up, that would have characters that they could look up to and stretch them. I want to be like that character. I mean, the boys are going to say, I want to be like Hawk, and the girl, I want to be like Sabina, and it happened with every one of my stories. I don't have characters who are liars or cheaters or thieves. And I like a good redemption story. Don't get me wrong, but they're just not the kind I want to write. I want to write heroes. Mm. Yeah, they might make mistakes, but usually with young characters, they're kind of innocent mistakes. They lack wisdom. They lack experience. They lack foresight. They don't do horrible things. So if they ever do make a mistake, the story doesn't reward them for it. And they move on to do something better. And that's what I want to do. I want to encourage readers to step up and for these biblically based examples.
Yes. And our mistakes don't have to be what defines us either. And I think sometimes the danger of the redemption stories can be like, oh, well, we're going to kind of simmer in this mistake a lot longer and allow that to be a bigger definition. And God is a God of redemption. So I love those as well. But I think there's something truly powerful about writing a hero and one who actually truly wants to do what's right and stumbles and falls along the way, because none of us are perfect. And like you said, especially with young, inexperienced characters, they're going to make mistakes just because they haven't lived long enough to know they shouldn't do certain things yet.
You might trust the wrong person because they got deceived. It wasn't intentional.
Exactly.
And then they learn better.
Exactly. And they don't have to be forever stopped by that mistake. They can learn to rise above it and keep going.
And learn to forgive themselves and not to dwell. Oh, I made that mistake. I'm no good. No, that's not it.
Yeah.
You made a mistake, move on.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of walking with Christ in our lives too. We make mistakes. We mess up. We trust the wrong people sometimes or do something we shouldn't do, but God forgives us and we can grow from that, move on and continue to embrace the fullness of life that Christ has in store for us. So we've talked a lot about your themes, but when a young person closes your books, what do you want them to walk away with? Like, what's something that you really hope they take with you after the story is done?
It's always, I want to mirror what that character has done. That character showed love to the person who needed love. For example, I have these side things that kind of build as they go. The kids notice that there are street children out there who have nothing. Mm-hmm. And as the story goes along, they keep thinking about them. And when the book is over, in the final book, not really a spoiler, but they figure out how to help them. And they're always thinking outside themselves, never egocentric. They're saying, what can I do for somebody else? And so That is also sacrificial love, is in that service. I want my readers to learn to be good servants, wash people's feet, if you will. When a reader closes the book and says, I want to be like that, I want to look outside myself, I want to help others, that's always going to make them a better person.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. So earlier you mentioned that you started writing because your kids wanted exciting adventures and you couldn't find anything. So could you walk us through a little bit more of how that journey started for you? Because writing is definitely a journey. At least that's what I have found. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about your story.
Well, it certainly is. And I couldn't find anything. It's a bit much to say. I mean, there was Narnia and there was Lord of the Rings, but not much else.
Sure.
All seven of our kids were homeschooled and they were not doing very well with writing. So I decided if I could write a story with them, not only would it help them get involved with the creative process and get excited about writing, but also give me an opportunity to write something that would put the virtues and selflessness and sacrifice that I was hoping to put in the story. Now, back then, I didn't know much about storytelling. I was a good writer when it came to paragraph structure and communicating, but when it comes to actually writing a story, I didn't know much. But the kids enjoyed the story, and they actually started becoming better behaved because of the story. And over time, the book grew. And, you know, I kept getting my kids involved with the process, and they loved it. And I was the one who got hooked more than they did. I have one daughter who is an award-winning novelist now. All of them are good writers in one form or the other. So the process worked, but it put a bug in me to want to write more. So I went to classes on writing, got books on writing, on how to tell a story. And it took more than 8 years to find the publisher. But let me back up. 2 years in this process of learning, I had a dream about a boy who could breathe fire.
Wow.
And I brainstormed with my oldest son about the dream, and we came up with the story that eventually became Raising Dragons. But it took 8 years to get that published.
Wow.
More than 200 rejections, and yeah, it was quite a journey. But finally, a little publisher decided to take a chance on it, and now a big publisher has bought the rights, and we've expanded it to 12 books, and it's going to be 16 by the time Dragons of Camelot is done. But that's
amazing.
Pretty much the journey. I mean, I've written other series as well.
That's amazing how something you thought was just going to be between you and your kids even became something that's impacted so many families and so many kids' lives. I love how God can do that. Take a little seed of an idea and bring out so much more than we anticipate.
For sure. I'm very thankful for it too.
Yeah. So you started and then it went on this long journey. What was that like, getting all of those rejections and all of that? How did you keep pushing forward in the midst of that?
Well, it was difficult. Back then, we didn't have very much email. We would send out our manuscripts with a self-addressed stamped envelope for the response. And then I would get one of those envelopes and think that's probably another rejection. And it always was. And it was an interesting exercise because I kept thinking, I got to keep going because I think God gave me this dream for a reason. Mm. And the story that my son and I came up with is so exciting. I just kept changing the book, trying to make it better. I rewrote it 24 times over that period. And so finally I just cried out and said, God, I thought you gave me this story. Why aren't the doors opening? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I got an impression, I didn't hear any voices, but I got an impression that God was saying to me, well, you know, you write these stories for young people, and in the stories, they step out in faith and do dangerous things, and they don't have anything to catch them but their net of faith. Mm. And you're going out trying this journey of trying to become an author. What risks are you taking? Where's your faith? So I was thinking, God, do you want me to quit my job and take a risk and just put everything in there? And then I felt like God was saying, well, it depends. Do you want to be a hero like what you write about? Or just want to write about it and be a hypocrite?
Wow.
But you know, it's true. If you teach something that you're not willing to do yourself, that's hypocrisy.
So true.
So I felt like I was hit right between the eyes. Felt like there was two doors in front of me on my path, one labeled hero and one labeled hypocrite. And I had to decide what to do.
Wow.
So I quit my job. I had mortgage on a house, 7 kids, and I said, all right, God, it's up to you. I'm quitting my job. I went through the hero door. Well, it's 8 years of nothing. And then within a year of that decision, I had contracts for 6 books.
Amazing.
Including Raising Dragons. And now I've sold more than 1 million copies of my books, and God has honored that. But the big thing I wanted, the reason I got into this in the first place, is because I wanted to make an impact. I was a computer geek, and it was a good job, but it just wasn't making an impact on the world of spiritual things. And this is the main reason I got into it. Where's the impact? Mm. But now I get letters and emails from all over the world, readers telling me that my books changed their lives. Mm. And that's what I was hoping for. So the dream came true, exactly what I needed, exactly what I wanted to do with my life.
It's always so encouraging to me to hear of someone walking by faith in the life that God has called them to, embracing the fullness of what he has. And that picture of two different doors, hypocrite and hero, that's a powerful image for sure. And I believe one of the reasons your books have that impact is because you were willing to take that step, especially for stories for young people. They can tell if the heart is genuine, I think. And the readers know that you love them and you care about them and you want that same thing for their lives. And kids can sniff out a hypocrite, I think, faster than most adults can. So when you're writing for kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely felt like I was able to put more of myself into the stories once I was able to take the risk and exercise the faith, without doubt.
Mm. Yeah. And it's amazing. It doesn't mean every person who takes the same step of faith or the step of faith in their own life will experience the same success. But I think God truly honors those who live in light of eternity and choose to sacrifice things in this life in order to lay up treasure in heaven and to live in a way that will impact others with the gospel.
For sure. And I tell other dads, I'm not saying that you should quit your job to pursue a dream. That's got to be between you and God. And I truly believe that he wanted me to do it. So I did.
Like I said, it's an encouragement to hear of someone who's willing to go all in the things that God's called them to. And that's something that I always want my readers and listeners to be encouraged by as well, that this life is full of things that don't always make sense. God calls us to a life that is not based on our understanding. That's why there's a verse that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And we all face those crossroads in our lives. And I think it looks different for each person, but there are those times where you can go based on your own understanding and live a life that you think makes sense, but it's never going to achieve the fullness of the life that is lived by faith and trusting in God, even when it goes completely against everything our human reasoning would dictate. And so I'm excited to share your story with listeners as well as your books with them. And as we start to come to the end here, would you be able to share with our listeners about where they can connect with you and find your books and dive into these stories?
Sure. My books are available in all the major online retail, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, christianbook.com. If you want an autographed copy, you can buy it directly from me at my website, daviscrossing.com. Davis, my last name, crossing.com. Just click on the purchase menu option. Some bookstores will have it. We don't have as many Christian bookstores as we used to. Some Barnes & Nobles have them. Some don't, but they can all order them. So that's pretty much it.
Wonderful. And you're also sometimes at homeschool events.
Oh, I do a lot of homeschool conventions.
Yeah.
On my Davis Crossing website, you can click on schedule. You can see where I'm going to be. I do them all over the country.
Perfect. So if any of our listeners are going to a homeschool event, they can see if you'll be there and maybe get that signed book in person, which is even more fun, I think.
Sure. And I love talking to my readers.
Absolutely. Yes. There's nothing quite like getting to connect in person. So I think it's wonderful that you're at all those events. Well, as we wrap up things today, is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with at the end of this episode?
Well, I want to encourage young people to keep reading, but be careful to read the good books. There's a lot of stuff out there that's going to tear you down spiritually, but there's a lot of good Christian authors out there. My books, Chuck Black writes some great books, Tim Shoemaker, Danita K. Paul, Andrew Peterson, S.D. Smith, a lot of exciting adventure books out there. So read, 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 but be careful what you read.
Yes.
There's a lot of good and a lot of bad out there.
Absolutely. And a few of those authors you mentioned have been on this podcast in the past. So I'll link to their episodes in the show notes as well, so listeners can check out your books and some of theirs as well. But Brian Davis, thank you so much for being a guest on Read Clean YA with CJ. I really enjoyed getting to chat with you today.
It's been a pleasure, CJ. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I hope you enjoyed listening in on this conversation with Brian Davis. We had a great time talking about stories, and I am excited for you to dive in to his Dragons in Our Midst series. At the time this episode airs, his newest book will be available for you to dive into, and it is called The Sacred Scales. If you're looking for fun adventures with biblical themes and dragons, then Brian's books are for you. I have no doubt you're going to love his stories. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean, young adult books too.